Greetings, this is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got another great show tonight. There's a lot of stuff going on. We are doing the ambassador training here at the ranch and have a pretty large group here, and some amazing things are happening both energetically and in the skies. So today's show, we're going to probably bring on some of the guests that are having those experiences and have experienced some of the energies here and have seen the ships, and as well as others. We're just getting started with this event. It really kicks on tonight and tomorrow. And I just heard out in the field people just screaming and hollering, obviously because three or four ships have already flown by. So it sounds like at least three ships have gone by, you know, judging by the people hollering out in the field. So the crowd's reaction out in the field when these ships came in. But anyway, there's a few announcements I want to make before we start. Don't forget the Ascension Rising Conference, and that's November 1st through the 3rd. And if you go to galacticu.com to find out more about that, it's a great event. It's going to be there in Sedona, and we'll be able to spend a lot of quality time out there and hanging out with the people. And it's going to be very enjoyable. I love Sedona. I'm going to go out there a little early and check out the sites and see what's going on. I've always wanted to spend a little more time out there other than just doing a conference and taking off. So I'll be able to hang out a little more, you know, and meet the wonderful people of Sedona. But if you want to find out more about that, just email sierra@galacticu.com, or you can phone 720-336-1710. Again, that's the Ascension Rising, November 1st through the 3rd. And if you just type in Ascension Rising or galacticu.com, all that information will come up. Also, the Star Knowledge Conference is coming up too in Palm Springs, and that's November 8th to the 11th. And I was just there in Joshua Tree. It was a great event there in Joshua Tree. A lot of amazing things happened. And I got a trip out to Giant Rock and got to stomp around my old home grounds. I was actually raised in that area as a kid, so I thought that was interesting, and I'm going to be able to get to come back out there again and hang out on the 8th through the 11th. So just type in, you know, Google Star Knowledge Palm Springs, and all that information should come up for you. And I think that's about it. All the other topics have actually come and gone. So as far as the announcements, we are going to be closing down, and I will be in sunny Mexico, you know, for a while to take a long-awaited and needed break, you know. So, but anyway, it's been a great weekend so far, meeting some wonderful people here and wonderful beings seen and unseen are popping in on us, and the ships are flying. So it's a wonderful event, and I want to go ahead and bring some of the guests on here, you know, at the ESET event. But before I do, too, I wanted to talk a little bit about the things happening with the truckers, you know, coming down on DC. Kudos to them, you know, the Million March truckers groups that are getting together at DC, and also the veterans and whoever else is marching on DC right now. They need to be marched on. So it seems not to be listening to anything other than their own agendas. But that being said, I believe sounds like we have the group online here. Do we have a connection to the field here? Hello? Hello, ESETI.
Hello.
Hey, welcome to the show. Who am I speaking with?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
This is Greta.
Greta, welcome.
Hi.
Yeah, do you have something to share with us concerning your stay here at ESETI and what you've experienced?
Well, I do. I just wanted to say it's wonderful to be here. The gathering is great. The people that are here are lovely, and the energy is wonderful. And I had an amazing healing in the last exercise that we did. So I don't know. Should I tell you the experience, or how does this work?
Yeah. Go ahead and share it. That'd be great.
Okay. Well, it was during the Yigong exercise where yourself and Rich did the activations, and I just felt an incredible amount of energy coming in, where we brought in universal love and then went to the center of the earth and then back up through again. Incredible amount of energy coming through, but a lot of deep wounding release coming. So I had a lot of release coming, and also experienced a lot of healing on a lot of different levels. clairvoyantly. I see clairvoyantly and hear, and it just seemed like many, many ages of different wounding being healed and almost cauterized with white light. And then I had a Mother Mary experience followed by a rose. So, and then thankfully Rich came and helped ground the energy, and a few more things happened, but it was quite lovely, and I felt very different ever since, a lot clearer and breathing a lot more deeply. So thank you. And thank you.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. Have you had a chance to get out into the field yet and see some of the ships flying, or?
I came out last night for a little bit, and we did see one, but I hear that we didn't get out early enough because I heard that there was one that came before we got out there that actually powered up. So we missed the big one, but we did see a couple of small ones last night, and we're going to be sitting out there again tonight. So hopefully we'll see another. But I've experienced a lot of incredible energy in the rooms, and, this dimension and other dimension, lots of incredible energy here to help us. So hopefully I'll get to see that big power up before it's over.
Yeah, I guess three of them already happened because I can hear everybody screaming outside in the field. So they've already had.
I might have to get out. So thank you for having us here. And I think Mark is next. Do you want me to just pass the phone along?
Yeah, go ahead. That sounds okay. Great.
Hi, James.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I had a question, and this is not this weekend particularly, but about the Fukushima thing, and, you know, for us folks here on the West Coast, what do you think about that, and, is there really something serious to be concerned about here, or are we, because some news agencies aren't saying anything, and others are talking really big. This is a catastrophic event.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, you know, there's a lot of things happening with that Fukushima event, and it's a very tricky situation because it is a mess. I mean, they've definitely made a massive mess there, and we shouldn't be doing, you know, any kind of nuclear energy right now. The ETs have warned us about that since, you know, the 40s, actually. Do not go there. Don't play with these matches. And we've gone ahead and done it anyway. And they continuously warn us and tell us, you know, you got to shut these down. And there's other voices out there, other, you know, engineers and things that are saying, this is crazy. You have to shut these sites down. And, you know, you have no control over these sites. They're unsafe. And you don't know what to do with the waste. And you're just destroying your planet. So, they've been saying this for so long, and nobody seemed to do anything or care, you know, as long as the power was running. And you know, everything fell on deaf ears. And it's tough because everybody wants, you know, God or the ETs or everybody else to fix this mess, which we created. And you know, overall society just totally ignored the warnings and the screamings, you know, don't do this, don't go there. So now we have the mess. Now the warnings have manifested. You know, now we're in the middle of this mess. And I'm just warning if we're going to learn again, because now they're trying to reactivate more nukes and signing up more, you know, even to build more things. And it's just in pure insanity. It's like nobody is listening. And sometimes it takes a major event to happen before the people finally wake up and do what they need to do and get, you know, pissed off and do something. And I think that's why it's allowed to get this far, because people just have not risen en masse, you know, and they've continued to stay asleep and are not, you know, holding their leaders responsible and the corporations responsible behind this. So, yeah, it's a tricky situation. I, for one, you know, I love nature. I wish I had a ship that could just dematerialize all this stuff and change its spin, its frequency. I know there are ways of doing that. You know, they have technologies that can actually render it useless, but again, the same guys that made the mess are in control of cleaning up the mess, and they're gonna get billions and billions of dollars to clean up the mess they made, which is the way it usually works, you know, at most sites. And I don't know, you know, I don't have an answer to it. But I do know there are some technologies where they can render it useless. And I can't remember one of the technologies which they're really pushing right now. that would actually eat up the waste. And there are certain bacteria that do it. And then there's some way of spinning, you know, changing the spin somehow and rendering these things inert. I need to look more into that. But I know the ETs have the technology, and I'm really praying that they step in and just clean this up, that we don't need this hard lesson, and that people will, you know, rise up and start, you know, screaming at the people in charge.
Right, right. Well, yeah, I was just concerned because they said, like, right after January, there's a big wave that's headed here for the Pacific Northwest, and that's where I live. So,
yeah.
Of course, you're heading out of Dodge, though, but... still, you know, I mean, how serious is this? Because, you know, sites like RT.com, the Russian website, I mean, they're saying this thing is really bad, and then our major media here isn't saying anything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're not saying anything about a lot of things. So, but that's their job, you know, to keep the status quo and keep the corporations going, whether it be nuclear or oil or whatever. And just turn a blind eye to what's happening. I mean, that is their job. You know, they're owned by these corporations. So when people figure this out, you know, and that's, again, that might be what it takes, is a major event that they never told us about to happen, to get people pissed off enough to make a change. You know, until it's personal, nobody wants to do anything. But, you know, I don't know. I haven't really looked into that, other than we were doing a lot of healing meditations with people in Japan, with Khan, and sending energy to Japan, you know, doing global healing meditations, focusing on Japan, and doing all we can to kind of change the frequencies and change the energies around that, and ask for help, you know, on, and, you know, we've been doing all we can to turn that around. I don't know the outcome, and I think it's a lot of that's up to the people, you know, to really get vocal about this.
Okay. All right. Well, if you're speaking with the ETs, you know, put in a word for us.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely have. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
All right.
Hi, James. It's Albert.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hi, hello. I just want to tell your audience some of my background. I'm from Hong Kong. And last November, we organized a UFO conference attended by 1,500 people. And this November, November the 30th, we are going to organize another one. And we're expecting more than 2,000 in Hong Kong will attend the conference. But that's not purely a conference. It's also a singing concert. And I told my Hong Kong UFO community, I'm coming to here, and then... trying to see some UFOs. So I'm really looking forward to seeing some power-ups and strange objects tonight, and then go back, because I carry a big mission this time to report to my Hong Kong UFO community what happens at this ranch, at Yeti Ranch.
Great. Hey,
so
well, you better get out in the field, because they're screaming and yelling out there right now. I've heard three or four major roars out there, so some things have flown over already, and I think they're going to continue to fly over throughout the night. So it's
okay. Thank you. So I'll pass it to another.
All right. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hi, James. This is Annie.
Annie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I just want to say this is the first place that I actually got to see UFOs, and you showing us with the illuminator, I was able to see the orbs. And I saw some plasma something last night, and I saw the picture today in the slide, and I realized that actually what I saw wasn't smoke, was something, you know, some other kind of phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that experience.
Great. And how'd you enjoy the energy of the classes today?
Oh, I loved it. It was pretty awesome. And I actually do have a question, and it concerns hybrid children.
Yes.
And I wonder if you have any knowledge of how they were conceived, or or comment on the abduction, because I was told I have hybrid children, but I have no memory of any sort of abduction or UFO experience before being at this ranch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, what happens is that there is a group, you know, a lot of the grays, and there's some government involvement as well, that had been abducting people for some time, and they did a trade for technology, you know, with these groups. And it's kind of more of a low-level contact that's been going on for God knows how long. I know it seems to be going on for a very long time, 500 years or more. But the agreements were go back to, you know, some of our presidents and in the past, you know, that had meetings with these beings and made agreements with them. But, you know, that has been going on for quite some time. It's kind of a joint ET military operation with the Greys involved. And what they're doing is they're basically a dying race, and they're trying to, you know, breed emotions back into their race, because without emotions, you're not going to make the shift that's coming, you know, this the energy coming in. So, you know, their bodies are atrophying, you know, because they did breed the emotions out of their race. The love is the life force, you know, and so by doing so, now they have these giant heads because all they care about is knowledge and wisdom, and they have spindly little bodies, and they've kind of messed themselves up in their own evolutionary process. So they've been trying to, you know, breed emotions and create hybrids, you know, and so they can create, you know, a race of beings that they can continue, you know, and continue to incarnate into and be a part of the future, basically.
Okay, thank you.
Hope that answers your question.
It does.
Yeah, there's a lot, you know, the hybrid program is really interesting. There are hybrids. I guess Bashar is a hybrid, a gray human hybrid a lot of people work with. And you know, they're doing a lot of good and trying to help out right now. Some of them are. But, you know, overall, it's you know, I'm not really... You know, you have two ways of looking at it. You know, you can say, hey, well, they've been trespassing, you know, on free will and traumatizing people and things like that. Or you can say, hey, I helped save a species or a race. There's different ways of looking at this. And, but, you know, I just don't, I don't resonate with that energy, and I don't enjoy dealing with those groups. You know, any of the low-level ETs or regenerate groups is where they would fit into. So, I like working with the ones that are more aligned with our energies, our ancient ancestors, you know, the Pleiadians, the Orion Council of Light, or the Andromedans, or those beings. I hang out more with those energies because they do have the love frequency and they're more aligned energetically and consciously with the work I'm doing.
Okay.
But,
thank you.
All right. I hope that helps, and I hope you come to closure with that and figure out... you know, find out what's going on there.
Yes, I look at it positively. Thank you.
Yeah, great.
Hey, James, this is Jason.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Okay, thanks. I had a question about the shift that's happening. So I guess you could say that it's happening on a material level, like what's happening politically and current events, and then there's also an energetic, spiritual dimension to it also. What do you think is the best advice to deal with what's happening in the future, like as far as how those two things will intersect, like how the current things that are the old order that's collapsing, and then there's the new consciousness that'll come in. Like, what's the best focus, do you think, to help deal with those things?
You know, my theory is praise Allah and tie your camel. You know, so. And there's a little old lady, you know, I love what she had to say once. And she said, you know, you know, kind of like, I have no problem writing out the changes in my basement, you know, sitting on a stockpile of food with my Smith and Wesson, you know, and it was kind of funny coming from this little old lady, you know, talking about that. And, you know, they've had to endure, you know, they've gone through a lot of the changes and the depression, you know, and things like that. And so they've gone through these things, and they're aware of some of the things that can happen that probably are going to happen, especially concerning the economy and how people are going to react when these shifts and changes happen. So to me, you know, I'm praying for the best, but I'm also covering my butt, you know, and trying to help as many people as I can if things do, you know, go sour. But I really... As we talked about in the conference, it's just mathematically impossible for this economy to continue the way it's going And there's no way, you know, they say the debt is more like $220 trillion or something like that. There's no way we can pay that back. It's impossible. And we can't even pay the interest on it. And it's gotten so out of hand. They've taken so much money out of the system and just left everybody high and dry. There's no way of paying any of this back. It just can't be done. So I think we have to be aware that there probably is going to be a major economic transition for a while. And there's also going to be, you know, social economic transition, as well as a lot of earth changes, which we're in the middle of right now that we're experiencing. So that's what I feel. I think it's a really, you know, just to make your own personal connection with spirit and follow your own inner guidance and do it with loving detachment and let go of the things that no longer serve you.
Yeah, that's good advice, I think. Also, there's an event that happened today. There was March Against Monsanto.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, sure, yeah. So that's you got March Against Monsanto, you got the truckers in D.C. So I think people are really getting active now. They're getting involved.
Yeah, so I'm feeling really good about it.
That will bring a positive change, hopefully.
I agree. I'm starting to feel really good about what's going down, because the people are becoming educated. You know, they're waking up. They're starting to make a stand. You know, and, you know, it just feels really, really good right now, just seeing that, you know, after years of people just being dumbed down and not paying attention to anything, that all of a sudden the masses are just waking up fast and arising and just saying enough's enough. So I really do see the banksters going down, this old Archon network being going down. It's unsustainable. The old grids are going to be going down, and there's a lot of new stuff to take its place. And that falls, you know, within the prophecies. So,
right.
You know, prophecies talk about the beast, you know, and reigning for 2,000 years until it becomes so controlling and dominating and destructive that it actually consumes itself. And then after it does, you know, we have 1,000 years of peace, and the earth, you know, starts to heal herself very quickly due to help from the beings on high. So We look like we're right in the process of the beast consuming itself.
Yeah, right. And there are many prophecies that talk about that, like even in the Bible, the return to Christ, the Christ consciousness, and the Mayan prophecy. So I think it's kind of a hairy time, but it's kind of exciting too. It's kind of, I guess it's probably best to have an attitude of, you know, trying to get rid of, or have no fear, but be engaged.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like basic. Yeah, don't get into fear. I was meditating once, and Baba G came to me. He said, "It's time to lovingly and joyously prepare." You know, so you know, he said, "Don't get into fear or anything else, but just pay attention and prepare." And you know, it's kind of crazy now, just with the weather changes and these freak storms and power outages and everything else. It's kind of crazy now not to have, you know, a good little stockpile of food and some alternative heat sources, you know, for water and bathing and things like that. And it's pretty easy remedy, you know, if you're paying attention. You know, so I think we all need to start moving in that direction.
Yeah. So there's five of us here, and we all talked. Do you want to keep going around in a circle, or how do you want to work it out?
Oh yeah, so we're out of people. Well, if anybody else wants to come on and talk about anything else up there.
They're all outside watching.
Yeah. Yeah, I hate to keep you from the show, because there's a lot going on, but we can bring in callers, you know, if people want to call in. You know, we can hang on a second, let me give the call in numbers. But if people want to call in too and talk about what's happening with you and your feelings about the shifts and changes, you can call 888-627-6008 or 530-413-4522. Or 530-413-5011. And I'll give you those numbers again later. They're on the website. So feel free to call in, and you know, we can go ahead and bring you on the show. So is there anybody else up there that wants to say a few more words before we move on?
James, this is Greta.
Hey, Greta. Welcome back.
Hey, I was just going to say, do you have a specific technique when you feel like you're getting hit with Archon energy? Do you have like an exercise, or do you just ask the guides to remove the energy and recenter you, or do you have something specific that you use?
You know, basically, I'm like healing 24/7, it seems like, in my own consciousness. And wherever I feel something, I clear it like right away. And I've kind of shortened the process. But the prayer that I passed out to everybody to use in conjunction with your own main teacher and guide or the higher dimensional beings works excellently. And I just stay on it, you know. And sometimes you have to do a lot of clearing work. You're just called on, you know, in these times to do a lot of clearing work because there is a lot of clearing that needs to be done. So I would just use that technique along with, you know, I mean, you have a great connection with Mary. She's great, you know, to do this clearing work. So just bring her in and do that process and you'll feel the energy clear. And you can do it for others, you know, as well. You know, so that's great to help out others. I do it in every aspect of my life. If I'm having a meeting, you know, a spiritual meeting, a business meeting, if I'm going to the store, I even clear the store when I'm walking through the store.
Well, I just love it that you address that because, I mean, I've a lot of people in the spiritual realm, we just, everything is love and light and they don't deal with that. But I just love it that you address it specifically.
Well, I feel that's the half truth. I hate to say it, but you know, there's a sad program going on where people say everything is love and light and it's all your stuff. And if you're experiencing it, it's your stuff. And they lay a guilt trip on you and all these other programs. And you're going, well, everything isn't love and light. And there's an other side of the coin. And to be in denial of it or ignore it, you know, is not really helping the situation. You know, it's almost like having a wound on your leg and a big gaping wound that's infected and say, oh, everything's fine, no problem, you know, and it just keeps spreading and spreading and eventually you're going to have to put something on it, you know.
I just love it that you address that and because a lot of times you can see stuff and then you get blamed for it because you see it. And yeah. I love it that you bring in the clarity of dealing with that. And that being said, Jason has another question for you.
Okay, great.
So thank you.
Well, thanks for bringing that up.
Well, hey, James, something else I wanted to ask about was, could you explain about the Orion Council and how that fits in with the other extraterrestrial beings? Because we had a session and...
Yeah. It was interesting that they didn't come in this session, but I'm sure they're going to pop in tomorrow. But they usually come in. But basically, they kind of originated in Lyra, as most of these beings did, these groups did. Lyra is one of the ancient root races. The Lyrians are actually the root race of the Anunnaki, you know, that came to here a long time ago. But they were ancient Lyrians, the peaceful Lyrians, and they left and they went to the Pleiades, the Orion, and the Hades system, and they set up colonies there. And my understanding, Hades was a really rough environment. So, I mean, there's where people say, go to Hades, you know? pretty hellish environment. But anyway, they set up colonies there, and then they went from there to Mars, Earth, and Maldek or Melona, depends on which culture named that planet. And that one planet blew up, and it's in the asteroid belt now. But there were these wars in Orion, and so basically... they're of the same root race as the Pleiadians, but they had to deal with the wars, a lot of the wars with the tall grays and reptilians and other regenerate ETs. And so the Orion Council in Light is very tempered in dealing with the dark side of things. And they're kind of no nonsense and they're initiators. They're very loving beings, but very straightforward and down to business. And I've seen, because of their experience, a lot of the Pleiadians are very giddy. You know, they're very high beings, very loving and very giddy energy. And because a lot of them didn't have to deal with those wars. Later on, they had to, and they have their group, you know, that's set up to deal with this thing, you know, different groups of Pleiadians. But most of the Orion Council of Light, and when I've seen those beings coming from there, they look like all races combined. They're a very ancient race, and they've been around for so long. Like it seems like all the different genetics combined over the years. And when you look at one, you'll see several races all in one. You know, so they're kind of amazing beings, and they've been tempered by the wars, and they're very very good group to align yourself with. And actually, Haog is one of the main commanders there, and he has this massive mothership, and he's monitoring the Earth and the dispensations of energy on the Earth and make sure things don't get too out of balance in the awakening and healing process. So Melia was the one that initiated me, you know, and brought back to my full memories of those even in the stars. So they're there and they're waiting to engage us. And when it's time is right, you know, when they do show up, it's your life gets real interesting from there on out.
Okay. Oh, great. Thanks. I don't want to hog the phone or anything, but I was kind of curious about what do you think? So a lot of what I've learned about, like with the reptilians and the archons, was through David Icke.
Yeah.
What do you like? Do people like learn a lot of these things from a common source, or is it all being channeled? Like each person individually gets a transmission of knowledge. Like, could you explain like how you think? This knowledge is coming through into this world. Is it like a set of teachings, you think, or more like people are just spontaneously getting like channeled transmissions?
I think it's a combination of things happening. People are having their own experiences and having to deal with the experiences, and you know, a lot of people have some real negative experiences and transcended them, and they want to share that experience with others. There's so many different ways this energy is coming down the pike, but I think it's real important to run everything through your own inner sensitivity to see what's accurate and what's, you know, been blown over the top, you know, and what's real or not. And, you know, but, you know, I've seen these beings, I know they exist. I've seen them take over people, you know, and, you know, we've had to get these beings off of people, and that happens on a regular basis. So that my teachings have come through experience, you know, firsthand experience.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Awesome.
All right. Hey, thanks for coming on the show. I guess we're out of people there, so.
Oh, I have a question about the reptilians.
Yeah.
This is Greta. Can I ask her?
Yeah, sure.
What happens as far as free will is concerned, if all of a sudden, you know, somebody's behaving very strangely, you're aware that they have other influences, but you know that they're not, from a free will perspective, it's my understanding you would have to ask permission to assist them in clearing it. But if they're not, if they're not conscious of it and they would think that you're nuts if you tell them, what do you do in a situation like that?
Oh, I just create a lot of space. Create a lot of space between them and me and make sure I don't have any dependencies there. But, that's what I find out, that there's people that are acting out on these energies. They don't even know these energies are in their fields. They're acting in a very selfish, predatory nature, you might say. And with those people, you have to say, hey, you know, I'm not going to participate in this and have a nice life, basically. That's basically all you can do. And, you know, you could tell them, say, hey, you know, you've got a serious problem and you might want to look into this, or you can choose. If you feel they're not receptive in any way whatsoever, you just have to, you know, set some boundaries and create some space between you.
Well, I guess it would depend on the nature of the relationship, be appropriate. But, just curious. Okay.
I kind of go by the old program, you know. I know what love is, and I know what love is not, you know. And
bless it and move along, probably.
Exactly. Just tell them, have fun with that and move on.
So many people are probably totally unaware that they're being influenced in ways. So at least we have an idea of the possibility of influence to be on the alert for it anyway.
Yeah, and it's their job to get educated too. You know, I mean, you can drop a line on them and see how they handle it. And if they're being obnoxious about it, just say, okay, well, you know, I gave you a gift. Have a nice life and move on.
And just watch your own influences to make sure that you're clear yourself, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's the best way.
Okay. So what do you want us to do with the phone?
Just hit the hang up button and we're good.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right, so that, I guess that's the end of our group here. The rest are all out sky watching, and I think we have some lines open here. I think we've got Trish from Arizona on line two. Trish, are you with us?
Hi, James. Yeah, I just had a couple of questions for you. We have quite a few sightings out here in Marana, Arizona, and there's a copper mine. And I'm wondering if you have heard of any connections of a copper mine and sightings, because it seems to happen pretty frequently where they kind of materialize in and out, and then I see the sparkle and that sort of thing, and all kinds of aircraft, because I know there's military nearby, and there's an observatory, Kitts Observatory. But have you heard anything about the copper mines and connections? I know there's a connection to anti-gravity.
Yeah. One thing is, are you sure that's a copper mine? Because a lot of times that copper mine is just a front for an underground facility. And so there might be an underground.
I think there's a humming that's coming from there that I notice all the time.
Yeah. They're burrowing. You know, they're creating an underground facility. So a lot of times that's what you hear. Those are the drillers. You know, they're going. And the humming also can be the ships, you know, coming and going too. So it depends. I'd have to hear it, you know, to figure out which one it was. But I would say, you know, a good chance is that, you know, it's it may not be a copper mine, or there's something else going on there.
Yeah, I'd love to look into that some more. And then there's another thing is, as I had seen a chemtrail plane go across one day, and then a dark shadow trail come up from behind it, alongside it, and past it. And I know Yatasha had mentioned that she thought that was maybe people, you know, the Celestials helping to assist, you know, clearing up. Because when you see a shadow, you kind of think, what kind of shadow energy is that? But have you heard that it was kind of a source of cleaning?
No, I haven't heard that. I know that one of the things they're spraying up there is carbon silicate, and that would be the dark chemtrail. And they usually lay them right next to a light one. And I don't know what they're doing or what they're mixing up there or why they're doing it. But I have seen cleanup happening, both with ETs involving themselves in it and cleaning it up, as well as the, you know, the sylphs and some of the other spirits, nature spirits, doing their thing up there. So, you know, I'm not exactly sure what's going on, but I do know they do have a carbon silicate spray that they use that has that's a black chemtrail. It's a dark one.
Is it? Because there's no plane involved too, it seems, with a lot of these. You know, I don't see a ship or a plane.
Well, I've seen chemtrail planes totally disappear. And so a lot of these things, I think, are drones, and some of them have actually cloaking devices on them or something. They're pretty high tech.
Well, thanks for your advice on that. Well, I'll be seeing you at the Ascension Rising and the Star Knowledge Conference. So we'll be happy to have you out in Arizona for the one of the winter. I kind of hope maybe you will get together with Yatasha and Caravan.
Yeah, I think we're planning on that. So that's going to be a really nice event. You know, we're still making travel plans right now, so I'm not exactly sure how everything's panning out. But we're just now trying to finalize that and figure out times and dates and things. Because it looks like I'm going to be coming out a week early.
Okay, I sent you a couple of plane ticket things that are like $220 per round trip for Seattle area, so peek at that. This should be a good price.
Yeah, I'm already have out of it. Yeah, so I already got a ticket a long time ago, so I'm good on that. I just didn't change it over to the new date, you know, for the conference. So instead, I'm just going to go out early.
Okay, sounds good. Well, you're always welcome. We have lots of space, so just let us keep us updated.
Okay, great. Okay, I'll be in touch with you soon about that.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
Okay. All right, thanks for calling. See you soon. Looks like we've got Jim from Louisiana on line one.
Yes, James. I had a question about the things that, of all the things that you do at the ranch, in particular the the spiritual healings. Mm-hmm. Is that something that can be offered, or is that something that can be received from a distance, long distance, for example, over the phone, if a person who is interested cannot be at the ranch in person?
Yes, definitely. It works long distance very well. And what we do is we ask the person to be in a meditative state, you know, where they're not going to be bothered. And we'll go into it and do the clearing work from here and then give people the information after we're done. And most, a lot of people will say, hey, I'll call you right back, you know, after we're done. And we say, well, call us tomorrow. And they go, no, I'll call you back. But in most cases, people just pass out and you know, they get high in a kite and they feel the energy come in and then they're gone, you know. So it definitely has a profound effect, even long distance. It works just as well.
Okay, so you do, you have done healings or whatever, readings or whatever, long distance in the past.
Oh, yeah, I can't even tell you how many. I mean, thousands and thousands of them we've done. And,
okay.
You know, they're pretty...
If I wanted to, James, if I wanted to set that up, how would I go about
it? The best way to do is just contact the ranch. If you send an email to esetireservations@gmail.com, or you can go to eseti.org and all the contact information is there, and they can schedule something. I won't be able to do anything probably for the next 3 days because I'm pretty booked up, but you know, after that we can probably slip you in somewhere.
Okay, so in October would be best, because you were talking earlier about the conferences you were going to go to in November, I think. Yeah.
So November.
You wouldn't be available in November.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first two weeks in November, I'm going to be on the road, you know, probably till mid-November.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, I'll try to work out, schedule it in before you go.
Great.
To, you know, when you're available. Just also I wanted your program is greatly needed, and I'm glad it's on the air.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's, you know, we're having an amazing gathering here. We're having ambassador training here right now, and I just love doing this, and I love watching the changes in people and you know, people releasing the past and healing and then having their own connections happening. But you know, it never gets old seeing people out in the field when the big ship flies over and everybody starts screaming and hollering. You know, I don't know what it is about that, but I just love people getting all excited and you know, waking up and getting behind this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you have a good night.
All right. Thanks for calling.
By the way, okay, are you at the ranch or are you in a different location?
I'm at the ranch.
You're at the ranch. Okay.
Yeah.
And those other folks are in the field.
What's that?
The other folks who were on the telephone, who were speaking, were actually outside in the field, another part of the ranch?
Yeah, we have a field line that goes out to the Skywatch field, or we have a place, you know, in case it's raining or whatever, when we interview people, we take people to another place and so they're indoors and not being affected, so they can go on the air without, you know, being disrupted or other noise. But we call that the field line. You know, it's either interviewing people in the field while the Skywatch is going on, or we're interviewing people, you know, in a separate room, you know, just to keep the noise down for the radio show.
Okay. Yeah, I got a good picture. Okay. Okay, James.
All right.
Well, listen, thank you very much.
All right, thanks for calling. It looks like we're getting close to the end of the hour. There's a few other things I wanted to talk about coming up. The one thing, too, I wanted to again go over, if you want to grab a pencil and write down this information about these two conferences coming up. And the Sedona one's going to be great, and I know the Palm Springs one is going to be a little different flavor, a little more Native American star knowledge, you know, for the one in Palm Springs, you know. So if you have a pencil and you want to write this down to find out more about that, you can go to either Google Ascension Rising and you can go to galacticu.com, either one, it should take you there. And if you want to email and find out more about it, you can email Sierra at galacticu.com. And that's 720-336-1710. And for the Star Knowledge Palm Springs Conference, you know, if you just Google Star Knowledge Palm Springs, it'll all come up. And that's November 8th through the 11th. And they'll give you all the information on it. I don't have all the details on that one yet. But that's going to be really fun. I was just out there in Joshua Tree at an event. And things went over really well. And we did a workshop and brought all the different beings in for people to experience like we're doing this weekend. And a lot of people had huge breakthroughs and openings and got to experience the different beings. So that was fun. I loved doing that. And you know, it was quite an event out there. It was a lot of interesting things going on. We did a sky watch and got some great photos of interdimensional ships appearing over the groups and orbs and light spheres and everything you can imagine. So it was quite an event. But I'm sure this Palm Springs one is going to be very similar, and the Ascension Rising one as well is going to be one that you'd really want to check out, you know, and get involved with. But both these events are great. And there's other things I wanted to talk about a little bit about the, you know, a lot of people have asked me a lot of questions, you know, about the economy, about Fukushima, you know, what I feel about, you know, all these different things and what's happening. And you know, I always tell people, I really want you to think about this. In 1982, in the book Becoming Gods, we were talking about how all of our institutions are exactly opposite of what they're created to do. And, you know, a good example is the, you know, the Defense Department is really the offense department. And it's being used by the major corporations, you know, to ensure the petrodollars and the oil reserves and things like that. So, you know, and conquering other countries and under false flags and things like that. So, you know, there's your opposite right there. You know, the Justice Department is the injustice department. I've never seen anything so unjust in all my life. And what's happened there, and the way that program is panning out, you know, and you know, it's actually there to keep us all as good little corporate slaves, you know, and keep the manufactured lack and control programs going. You know, I can go on and on with all of them. You know, the Food and Drug Administration, you know, they have squashed so many healing technologies and both energy technologies and natural formulas that are people are being healed with all around the world, simple formulas, you know. So, you know, are they here for our safety, you know, to make sure we're getting safe drugs, you know, and how safe are these drugs? I look at the consequences of most of these drugs, which they've allowed to hit the market, you know, so I can go on, you know, they're shutting down people. You can't even drink raw milk without them coming down on you with a SWAT team, you know. Things like that. It's just gotten so ridiculous. But, you know, we look at all these agencies and we're going, oh my God, you know, where's our, you know, what we have these Department of Energies, you know, and, you know, okay, if these Department of Energy is there to bring out the energy sources and things like that, where's the fuelless energy? It's been around since 1930. You know, where's the anti-gravity? Where's the counter-gravity? You know, all that's been around since, you know, a long time. You know, I can just go on and on. You just pick any agency. You know, the welfare agency is more like the warfare agency and the stunts that they pull and what they do to people, you know, with all their rules and rags and things like that. And they totally disempower people, you know, in a lot of ways rather than serve people. So, you know, I can go on and on with all these different programs, but they're so obvious now. Everything has gotten so backwards and in disarray. And, you know, the economy is just, you know, with a $220-something trillion debt that we can never pay back. It's, what, you know, 20 times the gross national product or something like that. There's no way that can be paid back. It's you know, and it's a mathematical certainty that eventually this has to fall. I mean, where are we going to borrow money from when we have nothing to pay it back with or no possible way of paying it back? And who's going to loan it? And that's where we're at. You know, these guys have borrowed into oblivion, and there's no way of recouping that. So that's pretty much a mathematical certainty that this economy that we're in now is going to fall on its face, and the dollar as well. So, you know, hopefully we can shift that around and create enough changes to make that an easier transition. You know, but you look at all these processes, and there's a lot of people that are just blind, and they're like zombies, and they're walking around in this Archon network and this program, totally oblivious to where it's at, and how unsustainable all of it is, and the condition of the environment, and everything else, and they're just gung-ho on keeping the status quo going, you know, until the status quo becomes, you know, kind of a death sentence, you might say, of the whole planet, the environment, and everybody on it, you know, such as Fukushima, you know. So it's, you know, Fukushima is just showing how far these psychopaths can go, how far they will go to keep people enslaved through dependency, to keep the corporate greed going, and how, you know, nonsensical their opinions and decisions are. You know, it's, you know, I just, at what point do you just say, how ridiculous can this get? So on every level, we're at the height of ridiculousness. We're at the height of oppression and tyranny. We're at the height of all these things. We're hitting, you know, the height of manufactured lack and all these other programs. They just can't go anywhere, and they're totally unsustainable. So there's no way to keep these programs going any longer. And with the new influx of energy and the evolution of Earth and humanity and where we're going, these programs are totally unsustainable. They can't continue. So they're not frequency specific to the evolution of humanity and the Earth and the higher realms and universal law. So basically, you know, this is coming to an end, and we need to be ready for this and start creating a different world. And a good example of that is people said, well, how do you feel about the government shutdown? And I said, I just said, I don't feel anything. You know, I'm not, you know, where we're standing up here high in the mountains, and we're pretty self-sustaining. We don't notice anything other than I can run around in the forest and there's nobody there, you know, and basically everybody goes, oh, we can't let people run out of the forest and go wild out there. They're going to destroy the forest. Well, the Deforest Service is doing a great job of destroying the forest. And if you're up in the forest, you can see that being done by the very people that are there to protect it. So, you know, we have to get out of these programs and these false beliefs that these systems are really here to do what they've been designed to do or what they're worded to do, because they're not, and they don't, you know, and we have to own it, you know, and take a hard look at this. So, you know, it's time to, like, you know, wake up, smell the coffee, you know, don't support these programs anymore, and start creating a different world, you know, a whole new world. And that's what the higher ETs have been saying, you know, we're offering you a whole new world if you can accept it, you know, if you can open to it. So, you know, a lot of these beings have transcended war. They transcended disease. They have no material lack whatsoever. The universe is their playground. You know, they live thousands of years. And they can share that knowledge with us and assist us in our own process. But, you know, they are a direct threat to the war and disease industries and all these other industries that are there to enslave the masses, you know, through dependency. So anyway, that's why not hearing it. And, you know, as far as disclosure, you know, why do we expect, you know, people that have lied to us for over 60 years to all of a sudden tell us the truth? I mean, that's insanity right there. So, you know, be your own disclosure. The real disclosure is going to come from the skies. And I think rather than focusing on the government to tell us the truth, why don't we just put all our energies towards educating the people and let them experience their own truth? And, you know, everybody should get their own night vision and their own YouTube channels and disclosures done. But I think it's already done. You know, all the CNN polls, in 86, a Time CNN poll said 90% of the people, 86 to 90% of the people or something like that, believe there is a government cover-up and UFOs exist. So it's over. It's over back in the 80s. You know, the cover-up's already over. Anything else done trying to cover this up is pure stupidity. And people look really stupid who are trying to cover it up. And I don't know why they try. They might as well just say, you know, like, you know, there's something seriously wrong with me, you know, when you try to cover this up, because that's what it looks like to the masses now. So they are buying it. You know, people have figured it out, and it's pretty much already game over. So I don't know why we're putting so much energy into getting some external authority to tell us it's okay to believe what we already know exists. And that's my view on that. So, but anyway, we're coming up to the end of the hour, and I can't thank everybody enough for coming on the air and sharing their stories. And for the listeners, keep your eyes open. You know, watch the skies. Things are really heating up, and you know, it's time to lovingly and joyously prepare. And you know, as we say in the song, you know, Anunnaki return. It's time for divinity to stand tall. And you know, on our way out, I wanted to tell people that, you know, if you got a chance, go to cdbaby.com and or .au. And just type in Anunnaki Return, and it'll say Gilliland Fisher on there. And listen to that song, and go ahead and purchase it, because the people that sang it really deserve it. It helps Iseti. And it's a beautiful song, and it talks about our ancient ancestors returning. You know, the ancient temple builders, and coming to right or wrong, and what's happened in the past, and where our future's going. So it's a beautiful song. It's very heart-opening. And really check it out. It's that cdbaby.com.au. And when it comes up, just type in Anunnaki Return, and it should come up there for you. I don't think we have enough time to play this one. I think we're at the end of the hour. A lot of times I go ahead and play it on the air. Next week I'll play it again with the information. But let me see. I might be able to bring it up. I guess our producer just popped up a little message that we can bring it up. So I'm going to go ahead and end the show with this beautiful music. So go ahead and open your minds, open your hearts, and listen to this beautiful song. Good night. Whoops, we missed it.
Built your ancient temples. They came to right or wrong. They left our children to oversee the civilization at its dawn. Our children, they have fallen. God's a noble virtue. They were left here to serve our seeds we left behind. Like they, those who serve them have fallen, just as well. Yet now it is time to awaken. Divinity, we're not yours. We were meant to walk as one. Now we have returned when all is said and done. The tyrant's days are over. separation, greed, and control. It is time to lead yourself from your own heart and soul. Come to awaken, heal and empower. It is written in your prophecies, the budding of the flower. Know that your divine is seated in the gods. Waters are pouring, love so sublime. All the children, those young and old, we are now returning as the prophecies have told. Of them have fallen just as well. Yet now it is time to awaken. Divinity, everlasting gold.